Maybe.
There we
and
go.
depends.
Now we can start a show like this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I am Jeff Gamet, and I am your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And wow, this is awesome. This is our last regular Mac show of the year, because next week is our Mac Show Christmas quiz, which will be awesome. It will play out much like the Big Show Christmas quiz, where it will become glaringly obvious that I don't remember anything that we have talked about all year long. Right. Yeah. If I were a betting person, I would bet against me in the quiz. Unless you're betting who's most likely to get an answer wrong and then bet for me. Anyhow, so that'll be great. But today we do have news, and we actually do have some news to talk about today.
Lots
so
of
that,
it.
That'll be awesome. Ben, how are you doing?
I am cold and in pain, so it's winter.
Yes. Winter in Iowa. I have done that before, and you're right. Winter in Iowa is physically painful. Yep. I actually had my crampons with me when I lived in Iowa. For those of you that don't know, crampons are like spiky things that attach to the bottom of your hiking boots so that you can walk on ice. And people thought I was ridiculous. Colorado guy bringing crampons to Iowa. What is he thinking? And then there's a really big snowstorm, and I was the only person that was able to walk around. Now,
and
since
how did
then,
that turn out for you, Jeff? You had to do all the like grocery shopping and everything. So,
yeah, but I was alone. it was incredibly peaceful because no one was out, and I had all of my serious mountain winter gear clothes with me. So I was warm. It was quiet. It was very, very relaxing, but also, you know, a lot of walking. Since then, yak tracks have become incredibly popular and a lot less obvious that you're wearing them. So that's what I wear now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, they would have known anyway, because you wouldn't be wearing the obvious Iowa winter gear of real tree, a Hawkeye shirt, shorts, and a Busch Light.
Yes, you are correct. Yep. I would have really stood out. Also, the fact that I was upright instead of sliding on my butt across the street. Yep. Yep.
So Jeff, I'm not familiar with yak tracks. So do they make it look like a yak is walking down the street? Is that the kind of footprints it leaves?
Yes, Chuck, that's exactly right.
Okay. I thought so.
Yak tracks, they're like this rubber thing. It's like
chains
almost
for
like
your
a
feet.
Web. That wraps around the bottom of your shoe and has these hard wires that are coiled around the straps on the bottom. And the wires, instead of just being like regular tubes, they come to a point. So it, you know, so it's sort of like a sort of sharpish corkscrew. And so when you're walking along, you're not lifted up at all, because they're not what, like 3 millimeters diameter for the corkscrew, and you walk along, and it's like your feet are Velcro, and you just stick to the ground. They're great.
This week in winter gear,
right? Yeah, yep.
That's the there show, right? What we're doing.
Yep. It's been a great show. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And we'll see you next week. No, wait, Patrice,
how
are you
doing? 5 out of 5 of us are in winter.
Yeah, I'm doing good. It's been a kind of shortish week. We had a public holiday yesterday. Mm-hmm. Something, what was it? Something religious. Don't ask me. Like something with Jesus and whatnot. Didn't care. I had the day off. That was the important part.
Nice.
So yeah, I had kind of a shorter week. Today was very busy because of that. Because you know, work just distributes over 4 days instead of five. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's been good. It's been a good week.
Awesome, awesome. And now we know what to get for you. Pink Yak Tracks. By the way,
okay, I'll take them.
mine are.
They're pink. Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Mine, that looks so awesome on like the snow and stuff.
Yeah, and there were some people that were like, "Wait, your ears are pink?
Yeah.
Why are you going to wear those?" Okay, first,
everywhere.
Color doesn't matter. It's just whatever color. It's fine. Second, they were available.
Color matters a lot, but it's whatever color you want.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. color doesn't define me in that way. And second, they were the ones that were available in the size for my boots. And third, if you're having personal issues because of colors that I wear, that's your problem, not mine.
That's exactly. That's a you problem.
That's a you problem. Yep. Yep.
Nice.
Let's see. Oh, we've only talked to two people so far. This is just going to be an introduction chit chat show, which is ironic because we actually have news to talk about. Dave, how are you?
Doing good. Yeah, it was kind of a rain slush issue here. So we were on the cusp. You and Ben and I, I think, got all snow where we were. It was slushy this morning driving out on the streets, but then it's just raining. So it's a mess. But beyond that, everything is great. It's Friday and been a bit of a busy week and just keep going.
That's the worst, when it rains and it's slushy and then it freezes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, that sucks. That is where you learn the problem. One of the problems with all season tires. Okay, people, here's the problem with all season tires.
Here we go.
They're great unless you are in a climate where the temperature tends to drop below freezing regularly. And that's because the rubber that's used in all season tires tends to be rubber that gets rigid at freezing. So the tires lose traction. So all season tires are great as long as one of those seasons doesn't include freezing.
Yeah.
Yes. What you want are Super Swamper MTs. At least 40
those
inches.
Those will look great on my Prius. Can you imagine?
On your Prius. Yeah.
I'd need a lift kit on my Prius just to put those on. Yeah, lift kit, just like the one on Chuck's car. And Chuck, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. I'm great. But you know, I saw another advantage to the pink Yak Tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Since you live in avalanche country, if you are walking down the street and you get hit by an avalanche, you're probably going to end up upside down with your feet sticking up. And so those pink Yak Tracks will make it much easier to find whatever's left of you. You know, instead of having to dig down, it's like a flare going up.
That's a good point. They can pull my frozen corpse out of the snow without having to really dig.
Exactly. Exactly.
Perfect.
Exactly. So on that cheery note, I'm doing fine. We're not expecting the snow that I guess got Ben and Dave until sometime later Sunday, if it actually gets here at all. So other than that, life is interesting at the moment, but that's fine.
Always interesting.
But that's good, right? I mean, if life was boring, that'd be boring. So
I could use a little boring right now, Patrice. But I'm so,
you know. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Chuck, I could go into details about how people actually die in avalanches. Like, you know, like if you survive being hit by the avalanche and you're not like crushed by rocks or whatever. But instead of doing that, I'll do some Apple News instead.
Maybe in the post show. Yeah, maybe in the post show we can continue the
ways you die in an avalanche discussion.
Yeah, the death by avalanche discussion. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
Though that avalanche might have been caused by some Apple karaoke.
It very well could be, depending on the speakers you have and the quality of the singing.
Mm-hmm. Mostly the quality of the singing.
Yep. But instead of talking about that right now, spoiler, that is on the list. We'll talk about Apple's announcements about end-to-end encryption improvements. So end-to-end encryption for iCloud photos, notes, backups. Basically at this point, well, not at this point, but very, very soon, Apple will be offering full end-to-end encryption where they do not have keys to be able to decrypt your data for basically everything that they manage through iCloud. The exception will be email, contacts, and calendars, and they say that's because of compatibility with existing formats for that type of data.
Yeah, email is really hard unless you do the Google thing and implement your own API, mm-hmm. which I don't think Apple wants to do. A calendar, kind of the same thing. There's standard APIs for that, so makes sense. Mm-hmm. And contact as well. There's a what's it called? Card Dev, I think. There is a standard for that. Yeah. So makes sense. Yeah, but I think we predicted this 2 years ago or so, and the whole I think the CSAM topic and the whole FBI thing was happening. We said Apple, I think, is preparing for a end-to-end encrypted time. The time is now. Well, it's now for beta customers.
Yes. So
yeah, beta has. They have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could enable it on my iPad that I'm using for beta. But I don't want to risk losing access to my data on the other devices. So I will wait to enable that until after the public rollout happens.
You couldn't enable it.
Yes.
Because it checks all your devices, and only if all your registered devices are compatible, only then it allows you to.
Okay.
Even then, I have, I think all my devices should support it. I can't enable it because it tells me my phone is too new.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Yeah, it tells you we cannot enable this because you just added this phone to your account, basically.
Yep.
And 2 months ago.
And when she says all your devices, Patrice is not kidding, because I can't enable it right now because my mom's Apple TV that I set up for her.
Mm-hmm.
is on the list of devices that are not ready.
So any device on your account.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that's going to be a problem for some people. For example, I have an iPad mini that stops at iOS 15.
Mm-hmm.
That means that unless I remove that iPad mini from my iCloud account, I cannot enable end-to-end encryption.
Yes.
As far as I know, correct. I mean, they might, I don't think Apple has said anything about they might add it to older versions. But at least for now, I don't think that's on the cards.
Yep. In fact, to prepare for it, I had to remove several old Macs and an old iPhone from the account.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I should look and see what old devices I still have that are attached to my account.
You probably don't even use anymore.
Well, if you try to set up the process, it'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there we go. I'll wait for that.
Yeah, it will give you a list of all non-conforming devices.
Excellent.
Yeah. And I think it gives you even an option to remove them right then and there.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah. Excellent.
So okay. If that's all you want and you're just like, oh, no, that's fine. I'll just remove them. That's okay.
So then that means that if I go to one of my old devices and I've removed it, what happens doesn't if happen. I try to re-engage it? Will it refuse?
It will refuse. It will not log in because you cannot join the end-to-end encrypted iCloud anymore.
Okay. That's an interesting decision. I don't hate it, but it's just an interesting decision that Apple has made, unless they, you know, then eventually add some of those older devices.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's also, I don't know, you've forgotten that. I mean, like, I don't know, you added the device, it was never removed, you gave it to someone, it was set up with a different account, something like that, and you're really not using, or it's like in a drawer somewhere, you're not using it at all. And in that case, you might just say, yeah, it's fine, just remove it.
Yep, mm-hmm. Like my old iMac and Hackintosh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm very happy about this, by the way. Because I want end-to-end encrypted data.
Oh, I definitely want end-to-end encrypted data.
And that was one of the areas where Apple was or had to cooperate with the government agencies around the world, by the way, not just in the US. Mm-hmm. Because, it's the iCloud data Apple was in possession of and they had access to. So they had to share it legally.
Mm-hmm. And
now they can say,
now they can say no problem. They can't. Yep.
Get the phone.
Yep. Yeah. Of course, my feeling is that the government, if they really want into someone's device, we should not have to suffer and have weaker encryption. Which is basically like having no security, just so that it's easier for government entities to get into devices. Because if government entities can easily get into a device, then ultimately anyone that wants to can get into the device. Therefore, you no longer have protection.
You know, we've discussed it before. It's always a balance, and it's not just about, oh, it's the government versus us. It's like, what job do we give the government agencies? And like the agencies have legitimate like reason for existing, and we as people gave them that job, basically. The same mm-hmm. thing for like CIA, NSA, all of those. We gave them a job to do and they have an interest in it. And it's just, it's as you said, it's a balance between potentially anybody could get access versus nobody gets.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a middle ground, like somewhere. And the middle ground might just be, I said, get the phone, get the Mac, seize the device, and then there is usually a way, as we've seen in the past, there is usually a way to get into the data.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like that is a new battle.
No.
Governments have been fighting against encryption for hundreds of years.
Thousands. I mean, the whole reason encryption exists was because a government, I think it was China, back then, mm-hmm. like thousands of years ago, wanted to ensure that not everybody can read their letters, basically.
Right.
In like a war. And I mean, they have, I think a lot of governments have been kind of ambivalent about encryption on one hand, and also the US government, they put encryption like into law, even in some cases, that we want that and we support that and so on. And then you have the other side where it's like, but sometimes we might need to access that. What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, coming from my field, there's a lot of regulation these days that requires encryption even. It's like, I don't know, you cannot send medical data somewhere without encrypting it.
And that's good.
And that's very good.
Yeah.
And they even mandate how secure it has to be and what like how to handle it all of that.
Mm-hmm. I guess I may be the only one on the panel that I'm not. When these discussions come up, we always end up talking about governments. Mm-hmm. I'm more concerned about just the bad guys or mm-hmm.
the governments. The bad guys are government sometimes.
Well, just other governments. Patrice, yeah, exactly. Just other governments. I was going to amend that, you know, that the government, not my government, you know, some of the bad actor states out there. You know,
if you were living in Russia, it would be your government who's doing it, by the way, or in China.
So. Yeah, and so, you know, that I guess you really have to just define it as, I prefer to define it as bad guys, because when I hear government, I always think about, you know, some of the crazies on both right and left, you know, pointing mm-hmm. to government, blaming them for everything. And it's like, okay, there are bad guys everywhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we see it all the time. They're trying to get information from us. They're trying to take advantage of our technology that we use for things. And so just look at it as, you know, you're the white hat guy, you're fighting the black hat guys, and the more encryption you can have, the better.
Mm-hmm. As I said, it's a balance. Ultimately, it's always a balance. Like, there is like real reasons why we would maybe want someone to have access to that data.
Sure, but you can give access, but you can't, once they have it, you can't take it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yes. Part of the reason why, for example, voting machines should not be on the internet, because no matter mm-hmm. how secure your encryption is, it's not enough.
Yep. Yep. Also for non-government bad actors. Well, let me put it this way. There's a certain category of website that has to do with celebrities that would be effectively thwarted by end-to-end iCloud backups.
Oh, you're talking about the mm-hmm. the incident where some people were able to basically social engineer into the iPhoto libraries and mm-hmm. Snag some nudes.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's completely impossible.
Yeah,
but it's much harder. Yeah, as I said, I'm all for end-to-end encryption. I think it's a good thing in general for a lot of things, but it does come at a cost, and we have to be okay with that. Mm-hmm.
And Ben, I just want to say I'm not at all ashamed of those pictures that they got out.
I thought they were really nice, Chuck. I mean, you look really good.
Yeah, you can see them all at the chuckening.com.
Oh my God!
When you got it, that's all I can tell you.
Boy, howdy. Yeah. All right. I'm changing the subject because holy crap. Hey, Apple Music karaoke. So Apple announced another new feature a couple days ago, which is what are they calling it? Sing along. But it's,
I think it's just sing.
Apple Sing.
Apple Sing.
Yeah, and so. Apple Sing is Apple's own name for karaoke, mm-hmm. and it's in the beta of iOS and iPadOS 16.2, and this is actually awesome. Kind of cool.
This is awesome. They should have called it Tim Sing, but
oh my God, that would have been brilliant.
Tim Sing.
Yeah.
No, I really like this. I mean, it's surprisingly difficult to find like for at home like good karaoke solutions. Mm-hmm. It's surprisingly bad. And oh I mean, God, you can buy those machines and the DVDs and all of that, sure, yeah. But like good modern solutions, hard. And this is great. I mean, it's for all the kids out there who want to just stand in front of the TV and sing, or the adults that want to do the same thing or have a party and just sing together. And mm-hmm. it's
yep. It, or if you're the
yeah.
Or if you're the An cast of Shang-Chi.
So, and if you had like, I mean, the cool thing is Apple had most of this already. They have the songs. Mm-hmm. They have the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
They have they have like all the iOS devices, so they have the devices.
And they have the ability to mute stuff, which is basically what they're doing.
Yeah, they have spatial audio and all of that technology already. So,
mm-hmm. yeah,
there wasn't much other than probably some contract they had to sign with someone and gives money to someone, because that's always the problem. That was it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty clever.
Yeah. And to be fair, because I said they have the lyrics, they did more than just showing the lyrics that we have right now. I think that's important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was some engineering and some work actually. It wasn't mm-hmm. just all free, basically.
Yeah. But there's
it's also interesting compatibility of devices. Apple TV, you can only use the 2022 version of Apple TV.
And we talked about I might have to get a new Apple TV now.
On the other show. That's why I'm already tempted. I had already just bought a 2021 version. It's our Sam's Club here for $99. And the 128 gig version is only $139 now, so the price has really come down. But even in the iPhone, they're not supporting the second gen iPhone SE. Which is fine. I find them interesting. And then you look at iPads, there's only M1s in the Pro, M1 and M2. So you, mm-hmm. so if you have the older Pros, you're out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly the point, you know, this is a brand new capability on any of these devices. And so why wouldn't you limit it? I mean, from a business perspective, at least initially, why wouldn't you limit it to the new devices? And frankly, just leave it there.
Yeah.
And because especially for the karaoke people, I mean, the karaoke people are nuts. And so they will spend this money happily.
They will.
And buy these new things. Because I have not found too many people that are blasé about karaoke. They're really mm-hmm. into it, or they want nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. And if they're into it, they'll spend the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the point. I think there is a lot of people like me who are in between. I'm not sure I would ever do like public karaoke somewhere with friends, but at home, like on my own, I would totally do that.
Mm-hmm.
You mean solo, Patrice?
Yeah, solo, just me. Me or like with some very close friend. Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. I care enough that I would like to do it, but I don't want anybody else to hear it. So
yeah. Patrice, I think there are a lot of people that fall in that camp.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to go out and buy expensive karaoke equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And the karaoke that's on YouTube is straight up garbage.
Yeah.
Yep. By the way. So we don't get a message from Doc. It's karaoke.
Karaoke.
Karaoke. Oh. Yeah.
That's the
Kara is okay.
Kara is okay. Yeah.
Karaoke. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But you're right. You're right. These people who spend all this money on these karaoke machines. I mean, they've been for years. You got the microphone and all that stuff, and then you got to buy all the extra music. You have to buy mm-hmm. all the discs. You got it. I mean. Think about what Apple's giving you, millions and millions of songs to be able to sing karaoke and be able to not have to spend all that extra money.
You have it in your pocket, no matter where you are.
Or you can buy your $140 for an Apple TV. You can do it right in front of your TV and have a party pleaser for everybody.
You could be in a hotel room somewhere and just do it there. You don't have yourself. To carry around by yourself or with friends. Like, just do it. And you don't have to carry. Like, it might be like you're whatever. You're in like a whatever San Francisco hotel room. And you have a couple of friends over. And you're like, okay, what should we do? And someone says, karaoke. And you could go out and find a place and hope that they have space for you, whatever. Or you take your M2 iPad Pro, or maybe you have your Apple TV with you, I don't know, or your iPhone, and connect it to the TV, and there you go.
Mm-hmm. And just shortly after that, hotel security knocks on your door and says, please, please
that stop. Is possible.
Yeah. Well, or they knock on your door and they say, can you please do something other than whatever song it is you're playing?
Well,
other than Milli Vanilli.
Right. Which is ironic because, you know, Milli Vanilli.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing that makes this much... a little bit different than your karaoke machines. This is not not included or supported.
Oh, a microphone, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
This is you are the amplification of your singing.
Mm.
Unless you set up something.
Well, you could set that up if you wanted to.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's, you know, I mean, there was something on one of the morning shows this, I think last week, you know, for kids. So basically, it's a Mr. Microphone kind of thing.
You read my mind.
Yeah. That, you know,
I still have that commercial in my head.
Yeah.
One of the most horribly inappropriate commercials ever.
Ever.
Yeah. Well, I'll be back to come pick you up later.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, just so you know. Yes, I absolutely just found Mr. Microphone on Amazon, and so I'm dropping it into...
No, it isn't. They stole me.
Yes, you can pick up Mr. Microphone. Mr. Microphone, as seen on TV, wireless
karaoke
microphone, $26.99. Holy crap, if I... order within the next 13 hours and 57 minutes, I will get it overnight between 7 a.m. and 11 a.m.
They sell hundreds of these. I think we have one. My wife has one of these.
Well, scroll down on the page, and I mean, everybody and his brother makes, you know, has ripped this off.
Yeah, exactly.
And makes them so, you know, there are a terrifying number of these out there.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Unless it says that it's the brand is Ronco, it's not the original.
Yeah. So this one, it doesn't. Holy crap! Why am I analyzing Mr. Microphone?
I was wondering. That.
Oh, I think you're going to order one,
Jeff.
Yeah. Anyhow. So Chuck, which brand do you recommend that I get?
I don't think Rode makes one, Jeff. Yeah. So I really don't have a recommendation.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Well, maybe we can take listener suggestions.
Yeah. There's one of the bottom. I saw it then I lost it. It says it's a voice changing microphone. So that might, you know, help preserve your anonymity.
Yeah.
What's your favorite scary song?
Oh my God. Some of these are the comments on this, the reviews, they're like dates. Fun but not durable. I had high hopes. Ooh. Doesn't work.
Here you can get the original Mr. Microphone they're selling it for $96.
No.
I just put a link in the chat.
Oh my God, you did.
The original Ronco with the radio and everything.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Even has this is awesome. Little
transmitter. Yeah.
The instructions that are with it look like the original instructions. The paper's even yellowed with
yellowed.
Age.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Right. Well, pretending we're actually still talking about Apple stuff. How about the new AirDrop thing coming in 16.2, where AirDrop for everyone gets limited to 10 minutes?
We talked about it.
Yeah, it's a thing.
It makes sense. It's a thing now.
No, I agree with this. We talked about it again this last night on my show. It's you know, people have it turned on all the time. You know, you're going around and you're airdropping to somebody that you want to airdrop to, and then all of a sudden you see a long, when you're in a room, there's a long list of people because they don't probably even realize that they have everyone turned on. And you know, I think people are smart enough not to accept an airdrop, but you know, some people aren't. Like we were talking pre-show, like me, the fact that the airdrop can be sent at any time. So I'm kind of like not disagreeing with it. I mean, if it doesn't work, you go in and just go off, and everyone and it re-enables it for 10 minutes. So it's
the fact that we've had news stories about like airplanes where like there were issues with unwanted air, like unwanted
on a plane,
big pics
exactly.
And stuff. like shows you that it's a big enough problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. And you know,
I mean, sure, the news always they take everything they can run with, but like, still, we've heard it enough that I don't think it's like one or two people only.
Well, and the big thing was, you know, the China protesters, if I recall, I think it was the China protesters were the ones that were distributing information this way. Okay, so if you have a situation and you're tech savvy enough to be using AirDrop to distribute your information, then how tech savvy do you have to be to say, hey, S lady, remind me in 10 minutes to turn my AirDrop back on?
I don't think that's the problem. Like, as I said, it's mostly probably the people who said it and forget it.
But that's the big thing that, oh my God, Apple is kowtowing to the Chinese government. Mm. And, you know, I have a hard time believing that it was that widespread a problem, you know, from an AirDrop perspective, that there weren't, you know, other alternative methods that were just as effective, if not more so, you know, but I don't know, maybe I'm just seeing it the other way. I just can't get excited over this because I like the idea that somebody just can't intrude on me and maybe make me accidentally click a link that I think is legitimate, you know, that somebody is really sharing something that I want to see or should see.
Yeah, this kind of gets back to the pre-show phishing discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I switched AirDrop to everyone a long time ago because limiting it to contacts meant that no one could ever send anything to me, even though they were in my contacts. And so it's just easier to change it to everyone. And granted, I am one person. And so that does not make my experience valid for everyone. I have never had anyone try and send me unsolicited anything through AirDrop.
You're also the wrong gender for that.
That's a really good point. Yes, yeah. And it's obvious from my name that I very likely identify as male, which yes, I do. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
And nothing is stopping you from when you need it doing everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you want to share something and contacts are not working, you can. Like the 10 minutes should probably be enough to share whatever you want to share then.
Well, if I go and say I'm going to share images with someone. And so I go into photos, I select an image, tap AirDrop, that triggers the 10-minute countdown, right? I don't have to go into settings and toggle off and back on.
If you are sharing, then that wouldn't matter because you're the one sharing. It's the recipient.
Oh, it's if I want have to receive.
To yeah, they would have to go in and enable that for 10 minutes or switch it for 10 minutes to everybody, which they can do in Control Center. So yeah, that's the downside slightly. But I mean, as I said, if you're explicitly sharing with a person, that's usually not a big concern.
Okay, so just add in the appropriate button in Control Center, so you can just swipe down, tap, and you're good.
And Jeff, to flip your comment around, how many times have you wanted to have someone share something with you on AirDrop that you didn't know about, that you didn't pick your phone up and say, "Okay, I'm waiting, I'm waiting." You know, so.
Yeah. Okay. So yes, like I'm at a conference, and someone that like I've met another podcaster at a conference, and they just took a couple photos. We're not in each other's contacts because we just met, and they want to airdrop the photos to me. That's actually a thing that when I was at conferences would happen all the time.
But you would know that they're about to, that they're sharing. I would
know
with
they
you.
Were about to share with
so,
me.
So yeah, you're talking to each other. So
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Everything, anything you have to do, open control center, long press on the top left row with the Wi-Fi and whatever. And then you have the airdrop control in there.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, look, my, my iPad that, is on beta at some point switched AirDrop to contacts only without me actually changing it. I wonder when that
I
happened.
Think that's what I'm, since it's on beta, that's probably the what it falls back to. Like it does everyone mm-hmm. for 10 minutes and then it falls back to contacts only.
Okay, that I makes guess. Sense.
I don't know.
Yep, there it is. Okay, so yeah, now mean, we have our easy way to manage this without having to go into settings.
Yeah.
Now, if it's something you can control through shortcuts, you could make a shortcut that's just a button, one single tap, and away you go. So you don't even have to go into control center. And Patrice is checking right now so that I don't have to. That's awesome. And tap faster, Patrice. Tap faster.
Yeah, share AirDrop. What options? I think it's only doing you can share, but I don't think you can control it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's unfortunate.
Yep.
That would be so much easier.
Feedback to Apple. Please add a shortcut to enable AirDrop for.
Yeah. Yeah. Let Apple know mm-hmm. what you like, just like we do with TSO hosts. We like to let them know that we love that they are here for us every single week. They're supporting the British Tech Network by giving us the bandwidth we need to live stream segues like that to you every single week. And then also all the other stuff we do too. They are also giving us the hosting space that we need. So there's a place for the website to live so that you can go and see the links for shows and like Patrice is going to explain in a minute, where you can find the chats for previous episodes. That's also where all of the show files live, so that when you want to watch or listen to a show at your leisure, the recording is there for you. Without TSO host being here, giving us that hosting and that bandwidth, we would not be able to do what we do. So they are being incredibly generous, and we just really appreciate that TSO host is here supporting the British Tech Network. Now, what they're asking in return is so easy. We just need to give them some online love. Go out on social media and let TSO host know that you appreciate that they support the British Tech Network. That's all you have to do. Now, if you do want to set up a website and you want to get a domain name, well, they're there for you too. What you need to do is use the discount code BTN20 at checkout and you'll get 20% off your order. And they're doing that just because you're a BTN fan. So thank you, TSO host, for being here. And thank you for supporting the British Tech Network. And Patrice, the thing that I just told everyone you're going to do, can you please do that?
I just wanted to mention, because I got a notification, thank you, Ben, for mentioning TSO host. Because you just did that.
Awesome. Ben, you rock.
Yeah. He's muted.
I do that every show.
Very nice. Thank you. So, yeah, if you're listening to this live, head over to your social media, mention TSO host, and then come back and join our live chat, which you can do every week. Well, next week, at least for the quiz still, and then for the rest of the year, we're off. But usually every week, Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. Show times sometimes very rarely change, so always check the website. And then head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com to talk to us live. You see all the links. You can talk to us and the other lovely people in chat and just have fun together. But let's say you are listening to this after the fact and you are, whatever, out driving. You come back later. You want to know, okay, like there was this one cool thing that Ben mentioned, or there was this one article that Jeff posted, and I want to have that. Very easy. Not a problem at all. We all have that still saved for you. You head over to chat to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. britishtechnetwork.com/chat. There's a little calendar that pops up. You put in today's date, and not today when you're listening to this, but today when we're recording. That's the recording date always, which is the 9th of December 2022 for this one. And then you see everything that we've talked about.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrice. Yeah. Okay. So now it's time to talk about some cool things. So who has the first cool thing?
I can do it.
Awesome.
I have this, which is a slide converter that I got some slides I had to convert. And I'm like, there must be something out there. I've had some over the years. This one's actually branded Kodak. I don't know if they necessarily make it, but it's just a brand.
Oh, that kind of slide. I was thinking, like, what kind slides. Of slide are you talking
actually,
about?
Actually, old slides. Yes.
It's
yes.
Like, is it so, like?
So like... this guy's it converts 35 millimeter, 126, 110. Even does Super 8 movies, the old movies. And I was trying it the other day because I have a reel of all my old baby movies that I need to get converted. So this is the little grid here. The movie can you actually, if you really want to painfully go through and try to capture a picture through the movie with all the film sitting on the floor, you could, but it does do a really good job with slides and with negatives. It does black and white, does color, does it up to 22 megapixels in JPEGs. And it also has, you do use an SD card that you put in here, uses for storage, but you can hook it up to your computer, to your Mac, and be able to just copy it right off of it right when you're done. This one's got a smaller screen. There are ones that have larger screens, but I really don't want to spend a lot of extra money on it. And I thought this was a good little device. It's nice for those who need to be able to convert a lot of this. And it got me to go in and pull out my film, as all the boxes of pictures I had with all my negatives. So it's like, I don't know if I want to spend all this time doing this, but maybe I can find some ones I hadn't looked at in quite a while. But the family got some once someone had just passed away, went to just take a look at the slides, and I captured them, and they loved it. So
great. That's awesome.
Great for Christmas, too, because you're getting together with family, and you want to be able to look at those, and no one wants to set up a slide projector these days. So
I mean, if you even have a slide, if you even have slides or you have a slide projector, that dates you, by the way.
Yes, it does. But it's a great gift. I got rid of the slide projector. I did do that and put all the slides in a box. So.
Yeah, but it's a great gift for, I mean, like for the, like whatever, your parents even, who might have that and who might want to digitize that, even themselves. I mean, there are services out there if you don't want to do it yourself, but sometimes you don't want to do that.
But the adapter just slides right in, and you can, with the slides, you just can just pop one in each time and just, you know, go through and just crank through them, push the button to capture it, and they're not bad quality. Nice.
And I will say this, when they say digitize your parents, they mean the pictures. There's no Tron stuff going on here. No.
Oh, then not I don't yet. Want it anymore.
Not yet. Yeah, I want it. I always wanted to drive a light cycle, so.
Right?
Who didn't?
The light cycles are just cool. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so Patrice, tell us about your cool thing.
Yeah, my cool thing is like continuation of yesterday's cool thing on the big show. I picked a 1994 movie, and today I'm picking a 1994 movie. I don't know why. It's the same year.
It was a good year for holiday movies.
It seems to be a really good year for holiday movies. This one is The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. Really good, really good movie. The reviews are kind of 6.5 out of 10. In my heart, I like Tim Allen, and it has like a special place. And the reason why I'm mentioning it is also there's a new TV show called The Santa Clauses with a lot of the original cast and a bunch of really cool new people. So yeah, it's a good movie. It's on Disney Plus if you want to watch it.
Awesome. Yeah, holiday movies can be a lot of fun.
Exactly, and now is the time to watch them, so that I was like, okay, next week we will not have cool things, so now is the time, this week is the time to actually have holiday movie cool things.
Yeah, awesome. Ben, tell us about your cool thing.
Okay, I will admit, I completely lifted this one off of the BTN Slack chat.
You're not lifting, you're broadcasting.
Yes, but it is something that I very much want in my Christmas stocking, and that it is a wireless CarPlay adapter from Quadlock. I mean, there are 1,000 different people or manufacturers making this. They're all over Amazon. But this one is supposedly very simple to use. And quite frankly, plugging in and trying to get my wired CarPlay to work has been a little bit of a hassle of late.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a bit more of a cost-effective option than spending $700 on a new Pioneer.
This definitely costs a lot less than $700. Yep.
And for a lot of newer cars, you can't even add a aftermarket double DIN stereo to your car. So this might be the only option you have to get wireless CarPlay short of actually buying a new $50,000 vehicle.
Or if I was just thinking about it, if you're using rental cars a lot, that might also be an option, because instead of connecting to every rental car and then disconnecting out of that, I'm guessing this would, or even like not having wireless at all, you just plug it in and it works.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a good idea.
Sadly, not as often as you would like it to, plugging in. But, I mean, honestly, MagSafe is the way Apple's going, whether they have a USB-C, Lightning, or no ports going forward. It's a lot less hassle to simply plug your phone onto the magnetic charger and take it off.
Mm-hmm.
Your head unit still has to have the CarPlay capability that using
This will not automatically make your non-CarPlay vehicle CarPlay compatible.
That would be great.
Because I have an alternate one I purchased, and it's been the Carlin kit that's been working really well for me too.
Yeah, but nice. I mean, if you have a CarPlay head, I mean, aftermarket on Amazon, you're able to get them for like $150 now.
Wow.
I think some it's under 80.
Yeah.
That is crazy. So,
I mean, this is just a good option. I mean, you can also get like one with CarPlay for like $350. But I mean, if you like what you got, why tear apart the vehicle? And it comes with both the USB-C to USB-A and USB-C, also USB-C cables.
Nice.
Cool. And only $100.
Yep, $100, which
you got 10% actually discount too.
Yep, which isn't bad for this kind of device. Over $100 is quite common.
And available worldwide. Like I got redirected to the European store.
Yes.
So it's not a US thing only.
Well, I got the US store link because the store in this the link in the Slack chat is the obviously the UK store.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Awesome. All right. Chuck, what's your cool thing?
I'm going to sort of do a triple pick here, but it all sort of goes together.
I guess it's your last pick of the year. So why not go big?
Yeah, exactly. I took advantage of this during Black Friday and they finally got here. This is a 16 terabyte, and I'll put the link here in the show notes, 16 terabyte, Seagate Iron Wolf drive. That's 16 terabytes, folks. If you do the math, at the current price, which was not the Black Friday price, it's 17.5 cents per terabyte. Okay, so that is, 17.5 cents, $17.5 per terabyte. Sorry about that. So that is really, really affordable for that kind of storage. And, this is, if you are going to start doing karaoke and want to record yourself, that's going to run into a lot of file size. So you're going to need someplace to store it. This is where you want to store it. The second part of the pick, though, is because this is a raw drive, you're going to need something to plug it into or put it in. Now, you can buy a case, and you can buy some really decent price cases. But the trouble is only one drive can go in a case at a time, obviously. And so, and then you got to do the swapping out of the drives. And usually the decent ones come together with screws so that they don't fall apart. Or you could just get, wrong link. Sorry. You could get, I blew my links here.
Or you could get another drive.
Well, no, hang on.
You need two drives, right? So.
Well, great. Patrice, I got you covered on that because here you go. I'll do it right this time. This is the OWC drive dock. This is a dual bay drive dock so that you can plug those raw drives right into this and it will accommodate two so that you could even copy from one drive to another if you're doing manual backups or whatever. Or these drives can live for an extended period just in this dock. If you want them online for an extended period and at 16 terabytes, you're going to take a little time to copy stuff in and out. So that way you aren't stuck with just, I've bought a $50 case and I can only put one drive in at a time. You buy this and you can have an unlimited number of drives of all kinds of sizes, all kinds of manufacturers, and you're still going to have access to them. But at some point you're going to want to take those drives out and store them. And I've lost the other link. Hang on, folks. I'm getting there. I've got links for stuff to buy all over the place because of the picks here today. So you're going to need a place to store those drives. Well, here are these nice little brightly colored protective plastic cases for your drives when they are not in the dock. And this is really highly advisable because, you want to protect them from dust and dirt and all the things that can get in a drive and make even the connections, difficult for when you go to plug it back in. So if you pick up the drive, if you pick up the dock, and if you pick up the storage case, you now have an expandable system. You've got a great start at 16 terabytes, but you also have an expandable system that you can take and gather up lots of information. Now, these are spinning drives, so they're not SSDs. They're not going to be as fast as you might be used to for the internal drives in your Mac or MacBook or, whatever. But if we're talking about storage, these are more than adequate and the drives are fine. A quick note on purchasing the drives, you're going to want to do just a little bit of education for yourself to decide whether you want the red drives, which are usually put into network attached storage, the black drives, which are performance drives, they're blue drives, they're green drives, they're every color of the rainbow drives. You have to look up and see what it is you want for what your use case is going to be. But also I would encourage you to do that little bit of math and figure out, what the per terabyte price is. because you will be surprised. As I did the math over Black Friday, I mean, I could have bought a 12 terabyte drive, which would have been just fine, but the price would have been like $19 or $20 per terabyte, as opposed to buying a 16 terabyte drive. And I even got the ones I purchased over Black Friday were down to like $15.5 per terabyte. So do a little math, do a little education. But if you have that need for storage locally, this is a great way to do it.
Very nice.
Nice.
Chuck.
Yes.
You just derailed plans for me.
I'm sorry, Ben.
I was planning to upgrade the drives in my QNAP. I was going to go to SSDs, but now you can get 16 gigabyte drives this cheap.
Terabyte.
I'm rethinking things.
Yeah.
Terabyte.
Yeah.
Terabyte, not gigabyte.
Yes. Well, you can get those for about 20 for about 30 cents now.
No, they might actually be more expensive now because nobody produces them anymore.
Yeah. Well, Ben, to give you just a little backstory, the reason I bought the 16 terabyte drives is to put into a Synology. But because I'm migrating away from my Drobos because of the lack of support for Ventura. So I'm going to have a whole lot of, you know, 3, 4, 8 terabyte drives that I want more drive in the Synology, more space in the Synology, but I don't want to just trash those drives. So with the drive dock, I can continue to make use of those as just raw storage or raw backups, but not have to, you know, worry about the fact that yes, I had to spend the money on the 16 terabyte, but I'm not just trashing the smaller drives because, hey, look, for a lot of people, 3, 4, even 8 terabytes is still a whole lot of storage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So sorry to take up that much time, but there is a sequence to the thinking here, and I'm sorry I derailed Ben's plans.
That's right. At least you derailed his plans in a positive way.
Yeah. Yes,
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. Okay, so then my pick doesn't have to cost you money. It's an album. So I'm a big fan of Vince Guaraldi, incredible jazz piano player, and sadly died way too young. Weird trivia. Vince was doing a performance, and he's on stage. They take a break, and he goes off in the wings to sit down and like have a smoke or something, and dies. So he didn't even finish his show. But anyhow, everyone knows who Vince Guaraldi is, even if they don't realize it. He wrote the music for the Peanuts holiday specials.
Oh.
He has an album called Jazz Impressions of Black Orpheus, which is a fantastic jazz album. And it was recently remastered, like so recently, it's what, December 9th? This album is not a month old yet. New deluxe expanded remastered edition of the album came out. It's available as part of Apple Music, and on Apple Music you get the high res recordings too. So for me, listening with my Shipmodi 3 audio DAC connected to my Audio Engine A5 speakers listening to this album, oh my god, absolutely amazing. So it's available on streaming services. If you go to actually buy like the CDs, if that's your jam, it's depending on where you go, it's going to cost you between like $18 and $25. On vinyl, it'll definitely cost you more. Anyhow, so Jazz Impressions of Black Orpheus, wonderful album, and recently remastered, and has some of the other studio content like additional takes for some of the tracks. Absolutely great album. So there you go. This one, Patrice, is going to show up hopefully legitimately in next year's Apple Music in Review for me.
Okay.
All right. So, wow, this has been great. Thank you for making my Friday morning just so amazingly fun. All of you are absolutely awesome. And I think this is a great wrap up for regular shows. Patrice, but before we jump into people telling everyone where they can find each other, do you want to talk a little bit about next week's quiz show?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So next week is our traditional, I don't know how long, but like we've been doing it for at least, I think, 10 years, traditional Christmas quiz. So we're going to look back at the current year, at all the news stories, and I'm going to ask interesting questions, and hopefully you can answer them. We'll see about that. It's a lot of fun. There's no cool things. There's no, like, I think it's the quiz, is it? After that, we go on to like a little holiday break, because I think we've been basically podcasting. We might have skipped the show here or there, but mostly we've been podcasting all year. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't take a summer break. We had the summer of fun. So I think we deserve a little break. So the next 2 weeks after that, we're off. And then we will be back for Jeff's birthday. So there's the birthday show where we will be looking a little bit probably at CES, even though for Apple, probably not super relevant. And doing our yearly predictions. And I have not forgotten about the yearly predictions from this year. So we're going to have a look at that also in that very first show. And we'll see where we ended up. I can tell you, I checked them like a couple of months ago and I was like, wow, what were we thinking?
I think that's a valid question basically every week.
Totally. Yeah, but as I said, we will do that too. So over the break, we will think about, okay, what do we see happening? What do we want to happen next year? And we'll do our yearly, whatever we called them. I forgot even what we called our yearly predictions. Our predictions. I don't know. We had a name for it. Maybe I'll find it again.
It was probably a clever name too.
It was probably super clever and we don't remember it. So.
Yeah, it could be one of the quiz questions, and we'd all get it wrong because we didn't
because nobody remembers.
The answer is 42.
That's a good idea.
Yep.
The answer is 42. No.
No.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll do that. As I said, so next week we have both. By the way, for the big show as well. If you're into the quiz, it's gonna be a lot of fun. Big show on Thursday, Mac show on Friday, the holiday quiz. I called it so.
Yeah, I am definitely looking forward to next week's shows. And me too. Patrice, you put so much work into these. Everyone just needs to know that, because you are going back through a whole year's worth of shows and compiling all the quiz questions from those.
Yeah.
So thank you for all that work.
It's a little bit easier for Apple because you can just go through and, okay, there's like certain events, like you can look at what was announced there and stuff like that. So it makes it a little bit easier than on like general tech.
Yeah, but it's still a lot of work. Yeah.
And as a special bonus, Patrice will be making her karaoke, whatever you say, debut.
Karaoke. Like karate, empty hand. Okay, it's empty orchestra. Just to let you know.
Okay. I had no idea.
Didn't know that.
Karate is empty hand and karaoke is empty orchestra.
Okay. That's cool. Oh my God. I learned something today.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I'm not going to sing on the show, but I might dress up. just saying. I might dress up.
Oh, we'll send you the good eggnog. We'll get you singing.
Yeah.
I have a Christmas hat somewhere. I also have a Christmas ugly Christmas sweater somewhere. I'll have to see if I can find those.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I got some Christmas earrings coming in, and I got a hat and some antlers. Let's see.
Excellent. So excellent.
Yeah, mine, it doesn't look like made the move.
Oh.
Maybe it's still migrating.
Yeah. No. Your Christmas earrings are still migrating.
Well, Ben, since your Christmas earrings haven't found you yet, tell us where we can find you so they can find you too.
Well, first, Jeff, thank you for all those kind comments.
Ooh, right in the belt.
But you can find me at Ben Raythig on social media. My Mastodon instance, that's what they're called, right? Is mastodon.online. You can find me here. Sneaking into the show most Thursdays and Fridays. And you can find me soon at thenewbenraythig.com.
Awesome. Awesome. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I'm usually here every week on the Mac Show on Fridays, the Big Show on Thursdays, as I said, except for the break that we're taking. You can find everything I'm doing, all the projects, the podcasts, the social media links, my Mastodon, like all of that. Very easy. ThePatrice.com. Just head over there. You will find everything. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food, food-related stories and memories, I have an interview show called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com for that.
Awesome. Awesome. Dave, where can people find you when you're not scanning your slides and 8mm films?
Yeah. You can find me at intouchwithios at intouchwithios.com, on YouTube channel youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights and with the most of you guys here, as well as I'm here and on. You can find me on Twitter at DaveG65 and at intouchwithios, as well as on mastodon.cloud at DaveG65. Thanks.
Awesome. And we have so many social media things that we have to keep track of now. It'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out and which ones we're still talking about this time next year.
Yeah.
Yep. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com, sort of along with the theme here, is where you can find everything that I do and all the people we talk to. As Dave said, we do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time that is, wherever you are. If you're awake, we'd love to have you join us in the YouTube chat room at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV to throw your comments, thoughts, suggestions, and anything else in there that you want. No dating apps, please, because we've had to throw those people out. And on the socials, you can pretty much find me as at Chuck Joyner and or at Mac Voices.
Awesome. And note to self, quit trying to drop dating app links into shows.
Oh, it was you. Oh, okay.
I really thought I was going to be able to set you up and, exciting. By the way, parties.
I'm predicting the next social media for next year. It's going to be called Squirrel.
Okay. That seems... Yeah, that tracks. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Okay. Let's see. You can find me on the whatever socials are currently active. Jay Gamut. Much to my surprise, Twitter was still working yet again today. I have no idea what color check marks I may or may not have. And let's see. Instagram, that's where I'm doing right now my Lego Advent calendar posts. And which Mastodon instance am I on? Mastodon.social. Then for shows, keeping with the theme apparently, Tuesdays on Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on The Big Show, Thursday evenings on In Touch with iOS, and then here on Fridays on The Mac Show, and then also on The Context Machine with Brian Chaffin, because we decided to team up again. And wow, thank you to all of you for just being so awesome and putting a smile on my face today. You rock. And everyone that is watching or listening live, hey, thank you for being here and being part of the show. And everyone that participates in the chat room, hey, thanks for interacting with us. And for everyone that watches or listens later, thank you for being here and being part of the BTN family as well. TSO host gets a shout out for being here supporting us. Muller gets a thanks for making sure we do have people every single week. Ewan gets a thanks just because he's the heart of BTN and always deserves a thanks. And let's see. Hey, and thank you to Kyle for figuring out how to keep the daily news show running. Even though it's only a couple days a week. Hey, people, send in more money. We need to keep that show running, and we need to get it back up to 5 days a week. For everyone that is sending in money, thank you for doing that. Okay, don't forget, next Thursday is the Christmas or holiday quiz show for the big show, and then we'll do the same thing on the Mac show on Friday. So tune in for both. Everyone, have an awesome weekend, and we will see you next week.